Because you never know what life is gonna take you, and you can't change where you've been. Because you never know what life is gonna take you, and you can't change where you've been. But today, I have the opportunity to choose. Here I am now, looking at 30, and I got so much to say. Gotta get this off of my chest, I gotta let it go today. I was always too concerned about.
Good morning, and welcome to Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. Happy New Year to everyone. My name is Joy Keys, and I'm a local Philadelphian. I want to thank you for calling in today. Today we're talking about, how do we achieve those goals? What risk are you willing to take to get what you want in life? And what crazy things have you done to reach a goal? I'm sure there are things that you've done that you just, I'll never do that, and then you did it, and then you were successful. And then, unfortunately, there are times where we don't reach our goal, and why is that? Why do we fail at getting what we want? The reason I thought about this topic is because recently I saw the movie Slumdog Millionaire, and basically it's an East Indian movie about two brothers and their life journey. They grew up in the slums, they're extremely poor, and you know what happens to them. Well, the main character, when he's about 7 years old, he was in an outside bathroom in the slums, which is basically a closet about 4 feet off the ground with a hole in it. And, you know, he had to go take a dump. And his brother was outside trying to sell the toilet to a neighbor. And the brother was like, you know, I can't put a time limit on this. I don't know when this is going to happen. So the brother gets mad and locks the main character in the outside bathroom. Well, a couple seconds later, a famous superstar comes into the town on his helicopter. And the little boy is like, oh, my God, you know, this is like the famous star. His name is Amitabh Bachchan, which in reality is a true East Indian movie star. And he pulls up his pants and he pulls out of his pocket the picture of the superstar Amitabh. And he's looking at it, and then he looks at the hole, because the only way he could get out of the bathroom is to jump into the hole in the floor. So he jumps into a pool of crap. He literally jumps into a pool of crap because that's the only way he could get out of the bathroom and see the stars. So the scene is this little boy, 7 years old, jumps through the hole in the floor, runs through the dump. It's a trash dump. Runs through a crowd of people, and then he reaches the star. And the star doesn't even flinch. The star takes the little boy's picture and signs his autograph, and the little boy is, like, triumphant. And, you know, the whole movie theater, when the boy jumps into the pool of crap, is like, whoa, like, ah, you know, disgusting. But for me, it made me think, wow, you know, what am I willing to do to get what I want? I mean, this little boy, I mean, it was a simple thing. It was just an autograph. That's all it was, you know, to him, but it was extremely important to him. You know, for us, you know, maybe it's trying to save money. Maybe it's trying to lose weight. Maybe it's trying to get a job. Maybe it's trying to get a boyfriend, you know, maybe it's trying to start a business. You know, what pool of crap, so to speak, are you willing to jump into to get what you want? And also, the other aspect was, when he did it, he jumped in, not that he wasn't afraid, but he jumped in, and when he got to the star didn't even flinch. So it also made me think, well, maybe there's, what you want is waiting out there for you. It's just waiting for you to jump into the pool of crap, so to speak, get through the pool of crap, you know, run through the trash dump and get to the goal. So that's what made me think about today's topic. And there are many traits that make people successful. And there are also reasons why we fail. Thinking about failure made me think about Abraham Lincoln. Before he became president, he failed several times. He failed at business. He was defeated for the Speaker of the House. He was defeated for Congress. He was defeated for Senate twice. And then finally, he became the president. But he did not do that on the first try. And that is amazing because most people would have given up after that. Some of the other reasons that people fail are because they don't even take a step, just the first step. I went to a website, it was an inspirational website, and they wrote the top five reasons most people fail at achieving their goals. And what they listed was people don't take action. And, well, you say, well, that sounds pretty obvious. You know, you need to do something. But a lot of times people just sit down and think or talk to their friends and, you know, ruminate about ideas. But that's all they are. They're ideas. They're dreams. And they don't take even the simplest step of maybe making a phone call or doing some research or trying to find a mentor or something, any little step to get closer to their goal. The second reason they wrote were people were afraid. And we all have fear. Fear is not necessarily a bad thing. You know, sometimes it can protect you, but fear definitely will stop you. In Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich, he talks about six basic fears, which are the fear of poverty, the fear of criticism, the fear of ill health, the fear of loss of love of someone, the fear of old age, and the fear of death. I mean, these are all very real and very possible, but when it comes to reaching your goals, you kind of have to work through that. The third thing they wrote was people have poor internal programming. And they talk about the issue of what's your internal dialogue and what do you imagine happening as opposed to what really is going to happen and trying to work through that. Sometimes it's very difficult based on how, maybe how you were raised or a traumatic experience, and you constantly replay those scenes over in your head and they stop you from, you know, reaching your goal. The fourth thing they wrote were people's environments don't make success automatic. And that's definitely true. I mean, if you're poor, you know, if you only have one leg, if you're short, if you're tall, and you want to play a sport where there's mostly short people with low center of gravity, I mean, you know, these are things that can stop you sometimes. But what they suggest is that you evaluate your physical environment. You know, what are your obstacles? Evaluate your supports in your life. You know, what things are maybe you have negative friends, maybe you have toxic, you know, relationship, like a love relationship, maybe you have a toxic relationship with your siblings or parents, and evaluate those things and try to work through those. And the fifth thing they wrote was people give up too early. And that's why I brought up the Abraham Lincoln fact of how he tried so many times to reach a goal, and I mean, he just failed, you know, outright, that people give up too early. I mean, think about the little boy and he's stuck in the closet. I mean, he could have given up right then and there. He was stuck in the closet. Where was he going to go? I mean, oh, jump into a pool of crap to get what he wants? I mean, are you too good to jump in the pool of crap? You know, I mean, can you, you know, walk through a trash dumpster? You know, what are you willing to do? And if the first obstacle comes along because, you know, there's this conflict, are you just going to give up? I mean, what I would hope is, you know, try to think about Abraham Lincoln. I mean, he tried for, you know, more than 20 years trying to reach his goal. And you know, he finally made it. Now, okay, those are all the things that, you know, help people to fail. But what are some traits of successful people? This other website was called Get Rich Slowly, talked about seven traits of successful people. Successful people know what they want. Successful people don't just think, they act, which is kind of the flip side of not acting, you know. Some people have insatiable hunger for knowledge. Definitely, I know in my life, people that I found that are successful know a little bit about everything, and they may have some specialized talents and skills, but they try to stay informed about their environment and what's going on in their environment, and also about themselves, the introspective, the knowledge about themselves and human nature. Successful people are curious and not afraid to experiment. You can't be afraid to experiment because every time you try something, you're not going to be successful. You know, if you get stuck And you just have to keep going, because maybe it's on the fifth try that it'll work. I mean, think about scientists. They're coming up with cures for cancer. They're coming up with a cure for AIDS or medicine for MS. Or they can't give up. They're, you know, that's their job, is to constantly try and try and try again. And sometimes it takes, you know, 50 years before a cure is found. So don't be afraid to experiment. Try, try again. Successful people build networks. Successful people, some of them are introverts. I mean, I myself actually am a shy person in some scenarios, but I found that it's important to network with people, and it doesn't mean you're not trying to be fake or cheesy or anything. You know, you just try to strike up a conversation with someone. You try to go places where people are doing things that you're interested in, and you'd be surprised. People are willing to help you. Willing to help you. Example of that was I was running a parents group at the University of Penn, and you know, I didn't have any money or anything to bring in speakers, and I'm like, how am I going to get speakers? Well, you know, I just started asking around and talking to people that I knew, and people started calling me, asking me, hey, can I come to your group? I'd like to speak about, you know, anger management or child abuse or something, and they didn't even charge me money, and that was from my networks that I had built. You know, so that's a very important fact. I agree with that. Successful people are passionate about what they do. And I agree with that. They give examples of Tiger Woods. They give examples of Shakespeare. I mean, Tiger Woods doesn't hate golf. He loves golf. If he didn't love golf, he wouldn't be successful at it. Shakespeare probably loved writing because, you know, that's what he did. You have to be passionate about what you do, and I think it brings you great joy when you are successful. And successful people are persistent and patient. And those are good characteristics to have, because definitely when you fail the first couple times and you fall flat on your face, you need to have a little patience with yourself, not be too hard on yourself, and know that, you know, you're not the first person to fail at this. And if you try again, you might be successful. One other trait I thought was interesting that I found, successful people don't procrastinate. You know, you got to make up your mind quickly, because opportunity might knock, and if you don't jump when opportunity knocks, you'll miss out. This guy, Richard Weissman, wrote a book about spotting the gorilla, and basically he did a test where he had people watch videos, and he asked them to count the number of baskets a person shot. And in between the video, he had somebody in a gorilla suit walk across the basketball court. Well, nobody mentioned anything about the gorilla. They I don't know if they didn't see it or what, but they just didn't mention it. They completely were focused on the people making the baskets. But see, opportunities don't always look the way you think they're going to look, and they don't always show up in the places that you think they're going to show up in. And he did a study. He's a psychologist. He has a degree from the University College of London and a doctorate from Edinburgh. And he studies this factor about luck and, you know, opportunity. I see we have a couple callers in, and I'm going to let some people call in. I want to, again, thank you for calling in today. You've reached Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys, and we're talking about what's your next step, what makes you successful, you know, what things support failure, the issue of, you know, is it fate, is it luck? And what things have you done to reach your goals? Caller, I see your number at 484-433-1753. I'm going to bring you on the line here. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Joy. How are you?
How are you? What's your name, sir?
Yes, this is Bill Holmes. How are you?
I'm good. So, Bill, tell me, what do you think some things you've done to help you be successful in your life?
Really things I've done, really just pursuing some things that you touched upon, passion, about pursuing your passion and just living your life for yourself as opposed to living for others.
Mm.
And I think that was an excellent opportunity. I mean, excellent point that you made about opportunity knocks is just like, are you willing to take advantage of it? And spotting the gorilla, which is just that, hey, that...
It's amazing how they didn't even notice that. I mean, literally, he said nobody mentioned it, you know. It's like you see a $10 bill on the ground, And some people will walk by that $10 and not even see it. And other people, they see the $10 bill, they see the $1 bill, and they see the 25 cents, and they pick all three up.
Exactly.
You know, it's amazing how that happens. So many times in my life, I know that things happen in a split second, and I had to make a decision, you know, am I going to go forward, am I going to go backwards? And definitely there have been times when I unfortunately didn't grab or even notice the gorilla, so to speak. And, you know, I didn't get that that goal, but there are other times when I did, and it was very enriching. Bill, thanks a lot for calling in today.
No problem.
What things are you passionate about in your life?
I've really embraced my writing. I suppose
okay.
Like I'm passionate about that through poetry and through writing fiction, as well as living life to its fullest. I really sat down about a week ago about writing out my New Year's resolutions and just writing down a list of things in terms of in regards to spirituality, fitness. Really, one of the messages that the main theme was really taking care of myself, because I'm a giving person,
mm-hmm.
and very giving of my time and talents. I've taught creative writing for the past 2 years. But
you have a book out, don't you? What's the name of your book?
I have a novel I wrote called One Love, as well as a poetry book, Straight From My Heart, and a poetry CD called The Air I Breathe. And right now I'm currently working on a new novel to be published in 2010, as well as a new spoken word CD, Brand New Day, which kind of reflects some of the things that I've went through in the past 2 years.
Okay. And people can get your book at Borders, right? One Love, they can get your book at Borders?
Borders, Barnes & Nobles, Amazon.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to my website, BillHolmes.com.
Excellent. That's really great. I'm hoping to maybe bring Bill on the show and he can talk further and read some excerpts from his writings to everyone. Bill, I just want to thank you for coming on. I'm going to try to get another caller in, okay?
No problem, Joyce, but congratulations.
Okay, thank you.
Good luck. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I see a caller from 202 area. I'm going to bring you in. Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yeah, good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. What's your name?
Yeah, this is Leanne in Washington. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. Thank you for calling in today, Leanne. You've been listening to our show for a little bit. We were talking about success and failure, and we just got off the phone with Bill, and he was talking about what he was passionate about, which is his writing. He's a prolific writer. He's some books, poetry, novels, fiction. And I guess my question to you, Leanne, is how do people get to their passion? I mean, what are you passionate about? Do you mind me asking that?
Well, I have two sets of passions. One is my public work at my day job, working on environmental issues at the Environmental Protection Agency. So I'm in my 20th year of doing that. So that's required a lot of passion and changing it in different shapes. Privately, I'm restarting a dormant art career going back 40 years, and that has been an extraordinary journey to begin actually creating artwork using fibers and textiles.
Okay.
And
now, you said something interesting. You said going back 40 years. I think that brings up the issue how sometimes when we're younger, we you know, are very free and open to things. We experiment, as, you know, the article I read said, and we have no fear. And then when we get older, we kind of put aside what we're passionate about.
Definitely.
How did you get back to finding that you were passionate about art? How did something trigger you?
Well, three sets of things. One, for 20 years I was married to an artist, but I didn't do any of my own work. Soon after that, I saw an artist who had stopped doing her own work, and she was not in good shape, and it deeply saddened me, but it was also a wake-up call.
Okay.
And then the third thing was that because of my day job commitment and other family medical matters, I realized that I couldn't just walk away from everything and go off to the sunset. So I found a different way to begin to build back my skills and my networking through volunteer work at an arts program that serves young disabled people.
Okay,
and
so that,
that
so you took a couple
access,
of those steps.
Yeah, that gave me
you
access
took, yeah.
to money, to staffing, to actual studio space, and encouragement from working artists.
Now, were you afraid? I mean, did the issue of fear come into, like, well, why am I even doing this? What's the point? You know, are the people going to be receptive?
Absolutely.
Because, yeah.
Absolutely.
And how did you work through that? I mean, what courage, you know, you had to go and like, well, why should these people embrace me, you know, and help me with my journey, so to speak?
Well,
you just
I had to set aside whether or not other people would approve of or support it, and I had to look at myself and say, what is the one thing that you want to be doing before you leave the planet? And I decided that this was something really critical for me.
Right.
And recently I actually met and had dinner with a group of very, very well-established, highly regarded artists, and I had almost canceled that opportunity. I wanted to tell my friend, well, I don't know if I'm quote-unquote good enough to be with these people.
Right.
And they welcomed me as one of their peers. So
well,
it was
great.
A remarkable experience.
I want to thank you today for calling in. I want to try to get some of the other callers, but I think we're getting a lot of useful tips from people today. And again, thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. I just want to read something here, this book, Who Moved My Cheese? And it says, when you move beyond your fear, you feel free. And I think there's a release. Leanne, she said that she, you know, just tried to go, and these people really embraced her. And that goes back to the little boy when he got his autograph from the superstar. You know, he ran through the pool, he jumped the pool of crap, ran through the dumpster, and the star was there with open arms just waiting for him. And also in the book, Who Moved My Cheese, it talks about the quicker you let go of old cheese, the sooner you'll find new cheese. And I think that connects with the comment I mentioned about your internal dialogue. We have a lot of old stories rolling around in our head, and they can stop us from achieving what we need to achieve. I have a call here. I see a 215-758 number. I'm going to bring you on the air. Good morning,
Hello.
Caller. Can you hear me? Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
How are you? What's your name, sir?
My name is Desmond.
Good morning, Desmond.
Hi.
Thank you for...
Hi,
say that
Jordan,
again. Hi, I'm good. Thank you for calling in.
Good.
So, what...
Sorry,
you're from Philadelphia?
Yes, from Philadelphia. Desmond in Philadelphia, yes.
Oh, okay. And we've been talking today, I'm sure you've heard about success and failure, and we're talking, actually, interesting enough, about passion, what people are passionate about. And what have been your experiences and successes in your life? What do you consider a success? How do we even know that it's successful?
Well, I guess, in my mind, I define success by my own personal achievements in life, not so much what others might define it. It's my own personal definition of. I guess in my life, I've achieved a few things that I really set forth. For instance, you know, fun graduation from high school, bucking the norms for my family, I went into the military.
Okay.
During that time, I didn't want to just be the average military personnel, so I opted to go into special forces.
Wow.
Which is
wow,
a challenge,
special forces?
Challenge the, yes.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, I would never suggest somebody go into special forces.
Well, that was kind of my whole mindset at the time. I was kind of a rebellious kid, and you
were
know,
you afraid?
Needed to channel that energy.
Did you? I mean, did the issue of fear come into the play? Like, wow, what am I doing? Or you just jumped head first and said, what the heck?
Maybe once or twice, but for the most part, because of my basic nature at that time, I was just of the mindset that, you know what, you know, I could do anything I want to do, and
right.
I could care less what the world thinks, and So I went for it. And so I was in the United States Marine Corps. I went to the Marine Corps, and then I did the whole recon thing, you know, force recon.
And were you passionate about that? Did you feel good about that?
Yeah. Excellent. Yeah.
So that's probably why you were successful. Yeah. Sorry, say that again.
Passionate enough to become a Navy SEAL after that.
Wow. So you went, like, way far out. You really took a big risk, but you got a lot back from it. I mean, to become a Navy SEAL, that's an exceptional position. Not many people definitely don't, they, you know, a select few are Navy SEALs.
Well,
and are there times when maybe you were doing your job and you failed at something, and how did you deal with that?
Well, basically, you do what you're trained to do. And sometimes some operations were successful and sometimes not. And what you do, you reassess it. You assess the situation. You go into briefings. You find out, well, what went right, what went wrong, how could we have done anything differently. And,
right.
And, you know, you assess it and you move on.
Okay.
You can't really
dwell on the past.
Dwell on it. Yeah, you can't dwell on it. So you have to do what you have to do.
Yeah, I think that's an important factor about success and failure is that, of course, people do fail at things, and the first time they try, they fail, maybe the second time they try. The important thing is to evaluate what steps you took to get there, what things worked for you, what things didn't, and kind of get rid of the things that don't and do more things that have been working for you. So definitely evaluating your steps is an important factor. I want to thank you today for calling in, sir. I have a couple minutes left to the show, so I'm going to let you go, and maybe you'll call back next Saturday.
Okay, thanks.
All right, thank you very much.
Okay, bye-bye.
I want to thank everybody for calling in today. I just want to close today's show. It's interesting. Today we got on the topic of passion, which is really important. I know what things make me passionate, and when I do those things, I feel as tall as, you know, a giant. And I have a daughter, and I've always told her, and I've tried to support her to follow her passion, because I know I've seen adults around me that are doing things that they're not passionate about and they're not happy with. And, you know, they're just miserable. You know, and fear is a factor also. You're afraid, you know, what are people going to think about me? Am I going to flunk? You know, what's the point of it? You know, why even try? You know what? I'm okay where I am now. But it's just like, I don't want to live like that. I don't want to live like, you know, oh, what's the point? Or, you know, just a so-so life. You know, I want to be exceptional and try to make a difference. Marion Williamson wrote a quote, and I'm going to close the show with this. It says, our worst fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be so brilliant, gorgeous, talented, and fabulous? Actually, who are we not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightening about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We were born to manifest the glory of God within us. It is not just in some of us, it is in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. Thank you, and I'll see you next Saturday on Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys.
Because you never know what life is going to take you, and you can't change where you've been. But today, I have the opportunity to choose. Here I am now looking at 30 and I got so much to say. Gotta get this off of my chest, I gotta let it go today. I was always too concerned about what everybody would think. But I can't live for everybody. I gotta live my life for me, yeah. I reached a fork in the road of my life. And nothing's gonna happen unless I decide to be the best that I can be.
I choose
to be authentic in everything
I do. painful things I thought that I would never make it through. Filled up with shame from the top of my head to the soles of my shoes. I put myself in so many chaotic circumstances. By the grace of God, I've been given so many second chances. But today I decided to